The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Now, the reason we're playing Dean Martin and That's Amore is because Berlusconi in Italy is finished. And we don't know whether Berlusconi will open up a chain of Berlusconi scones or whatever, but the fact is, Italy's belly up. But what you don't know is that the finances of America are fundamentally worse than that of Italy because of the welfare states of both nations, the out-of-control Communist Democrat Party, the fact that they will not cut expenses, the fact that they continue to want to give out benefits when there's no tax base to support it. The only difference between Italy and the U.S. is that we can print our own money, which they're doing around the clock. And in Italy, they can't print their own money because they're a member of the European Union and there's the euro. But if we didn't have printing presses, fundamentally we'd be bankrupt because we're bankrupt. And if it wasn't for the printing presses, you know the rest of the story. So as I'm thinking about that, I stumble on this story that it costs $800,000 per year to house a captive at Guantanamo Bay. Let me repeat that. The most expensive prison on earth is at Guantanamo. $800,000 per year at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba. Guards get combat pay, just like troops in Afghanistan, without the risk of being blown up. Some commanders at Gitmo get to bring their families to this war on terror deployment, and each Muslim captive gets $38.45 worth of halal food a day. That's not to mention the order for computers that just went through, unnetworked laptops that the prison provides captives taking life skills classes that include lessons in writing a resume in case anyone wants to go home and work as a bomb maker. I can go on and on. The fact of the matter is $800,000 per year per prisoner at Guantanamo. So what can I ask you? A question? I'll ask you some questions. Where should Gitmo detainees be housed instead? I've never understood why we have a naval base on the other side of the Cuban island. I don't understand it. I still don't understand it. What does it have to do with us? Wouldn't it be cheaper to house them somewhere in Florida, in the Florida Keys? Don't tell me they pose a threat. They're in a maximum security lockdown prison. It'd be cheaper to build them a new prison somewhere in the Florida area, in the Panhandle, anywhere. What are they doing in Guantanamo? Why are we there? Do you know that every item has to be brought in by air or by sea, from the paper clips to the computers to the food to the water? Why are we there? Why? Now, this goes back to George Bush's bankrupting of the economy through the Iraq War. The fact of the matter is, if you think that $800,000 per prisoner is just being spent on the prisoner, you're mistaken. How much of it actually goes to the contractors, I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think we'll ever know. Where did the money go? Southcom spokesman Army Colonel Scott Malcolm broke down last year's $139 million budget into four pots. $61 million went to the, quote, intelligence collection mission, whatever the heck that means. Hiring analysts and distributing the fruit of interrogations around the world, maintaining an intelligence database, $60 million for that. How about sending over some cops from an inner city with some rubber hoses? You could probably get it done for less than $61.8 million. $35 million went to base operating support, housing, water, plumbing, and utilities. How much of that went to contractors? We don't know. $30 million went to running the prison, such as staff, guards, overall detainee operations. $12 million went to the war court, hiring aircraft and staff and maintaining a maximum security court and lawyers' offices to defend the prisoners. I rest my case. The Pentagon needs to have its budget cut. I would start in Guantanamo. I would close down Guantanamo. I would shift the prisoners to somewhere in the United States of America. If that doesn't work, ask our friends in Siberia if they have some room in one of their prisons. Topic number two, do you think Israel is going to attack Iran? The war drums are being beaten by the Iranian mullahs and their fanatics who keep claiming there's going to be blood in the streets of Tel Aviv. We know they're building a bomb to kill the Jews of Israel. We know that. I don't know how they can keep talking about it. Is it for aggressive purposes? Are you crazy? Why are you asking the question? Of course they're building a bomb to destroy Israel. Why Israel's waited so long, I'll never understand. What are they waiting for? Till Papa Obama gives them permission? He's never going to give them permission. Okay, it's as simple as that. 1-800-449-8255. Don't call me. There's plenty of other stories to talk about. Is Cain canned? Do you think that the left has finally destroyed a decent man with innuendo? In other words, it doesn't matter anymore whether he did any of this. All that matters is that they said to him, have you stopped beating your wife? This is such a classic hit piece on Herman Cain that I don't even want to talk about it anymore because I see a decent man being destroyed, and I've covered it now for so many days. There's nothing I can do. No more I can do about it. Nothing more I can do about it. What else is in the news? World economy is in a dangerous phase. Can I yawn? What I'm really thinking about is what I'm going to cook for dinner when I get off the air, frankly. Why do I say that? Well, I went to a farmer's market today, right? And, you know, I saw the usual number of good liberals eating the free food from the illegal immigrants. It made me sick again. They're usually bag ladies dressed up as middle-class women, or middle-class women who look like bag ladies in Marin County. And they go from stand to stand sampling the free food, and it gets me ill. It just gets me ill to watch it because I can't stand seeing poor people ripped off. Nevertheless, I said nothing because it's not my business. So I went and bought some organic Swiss chard. I figured maybe I'll make it tonight with something else. Who knows what? It's a cold night. And why am I talking about what I'm going to make for dinner? Because at the end of the day, what does it come down to? Do you think that you or I are going to change the world when you have such corruption and such demonic, power-mad people running the West? Do you actually think that they're going to listen to a word we say? No, they're not going to listen to a word we say. All they're going to do is try to maintain their power at all costs. So therefore, living well is the best revenge. In fact, living is the best revenge under Obama. Let's take out the word well. In fact, I would just change the statement to well, comma, living is the best revenge. Because living is the best revenge. If you can continue to live under Obama, you're doing very well indeed. But I would still say living well is the best revenge. So I'll probably make the Swiss chard tonight, simply steam it. Then I'll make some rigatoni with meat sauce, and I might have a tofu hot dog in honor of the tofu. I think it's the year of the tofu. I think I'm going to have a tofu hot dog. I don't actually like tofu anymore, but I figured, all right, a tofu hot dog. I found it in the refrigerator last week. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? Berlusconi scones. Why did Italy go bankrupt? Does anyone here listen to this show know anything about Italy, about the grotesque welfare state that Italy is? Do you have any idea when they retire in Italy? Do you have any idea how many weeks a year they get off? Do you have any idea that Italy is now literally the same as Greece? Why? Communism, liberalism, socialism, you name it. The people are fundamentally lazy. What else do you want to talk about? Yeah, there's a new movie out about J. Edgar Hoover. It's a hit piece by, what's his name? Who's the director? Glint Eastwood. In order to appease the liberal mavens of Hollywood, he did a movie about J. Edgar Hoover, again implying he's gay, again implying he's no good. Big deal. You know what? I wish J. Edgar Hoover was still the head of the FBI. I'd feel safer at night. I think I'd sleep better. I told you, I wouldn't care if he was gay, and I wouldn't care if he wore a dress and a wig at night. It's his business. All I know is I slept better when J. Edgar Hoover was alive. I think I was alive when he was. I don't even remember. I felt good with him in the FBI seat. Now I don't know who's in the FBI. It's the same guy for 25,000 years now, going back to, I think, Eisenhower. We have the same man in the... I know who the FBI director is. But do you feel safe under the head of the Homeland Security Department? Mr. Napolitano, do you feel Mr. Napolitano keeps you safe? Do you think Big Sis has your best interest at heart? Don't call me. Today they closed down the radio and televisions around America. All radio, all televisions were shut down so the dictators could run a government message. Today it was a rather benign message. Tomorrow it could be martial law and the president coming out telling you where to pack your valise and where to go so he can sort you out. Okay, conservatives go to this line, liberals go to that line. 1-800-449, I know, it's just crazy, right? It'll never happen. Can't happen here. Because Obama's a good man. It's true, he's bouncing off to Bali again for another vacation. No one knows why he's going there in the midst of all of this madness. So I've thrown out a number of topics. Gitmo this, Gitmo that, Berlusconi this, Kane that, the test of the system, Swiss chard, tofu hot dogs. We'll talk about all this and more on the Savage Nation when I return. Savage. So to entertain my starved mind, I'm reading a horrendously hateful review of Clint Eastwood's new movie on J. Edgar Hoover by Rex Reed. I'm enjoying reading it because it's so filled with vitriol that it's actually a pleasure. And before I read the review of J. Edgar the Man, which he says the film is passionless and plot-starved, and he said you might be better off spying on neighbors than Clint Eastwood's unforgivable squandering of a great opportunity. Thanks, Rex. You took on one of Hollywood's icons. But here's the part I don't understand, and maybe somebody could educate me or help me with this one. The gays in America are obsessed with the fact that J. Edgar Hoover was allegedly a closet gay, and they keep putting him down for being gay. They allegedly hated him because he was gay, or did they hate him because he didn't say he was gay? What is it that they hate him about? They said that he was allegedly a cross-dresser. Wouldn't that be a good thing today? Despite documented eyewitness accounts of Hoover's secret passion for cross-dressing, fueled by his strong, dominating mother, he is only revealed posing with his mother's necklace and silk dress against his chest only once, following her death. FBI employees behind his back called him J. Edna Hoover, according to this review. Okay, so he was a cross-dresser and he was gay. Wouldn't that be something they would want? Why do they hate him for being gay and a cross-dresser? Why is that the biggest thing about the man? Anyway, they hated the movie. This guy did. Rex, whatever. I didn't even know he was still living. It says, in spite of a fusillade of PR overkill about what a brave risk-taking actor he is and how he spent 5 hours a day in a makeup chair squirming, Leon DiCaprio's portrait of a balding, sweaty, grizzled-chewing half-man J. Edgar Hoover is gimmicky play-acting. J. Edgar Clint Eastwood's exhausting chronicle of power obsession about the enigmatic, self-serving egomaniac who was director of the FBI kept America trembling with terror for half a century under the phony guise of patriotism is a long, tedious, and hollow disappointment. What do you mean the phony guise of patriotism? The country was riddled with communists like you. Nevertheless, he goes on, Mr. Eastwood is too old, he writes, to tackle a personality so complex. So he attacks Clint Eastwood. I guess he was locked out of one of his parties. He then says he knows nothing about what it takes to turn the character flaws of a cross-dressing mama's boy. Would that imply that Rex Reed does know that? I mean, how would Rex Reed know how or what it takes to turn the character flaws of a cross-dressing mama's boy into an attention-craving closet queen? I mean, does Rex Reed know that, and how would he know that? And when did he learn that? He goes on, how many prosthetics do we have to endure to watch Leonardo DiCaprio fake his way through roles like Howard Hughes in the forthcoming Frank Sinatra and Gay Gatsby, roles for which he is totally unsuited and therefore miscast. For now, we have another miscalculation in a bloodless film about a monster, more pathetic than dangerous, with an odd rambling screenplay by Oscar-winning writer Dustin Lance Black, who wrote Milk. Milk was perhaps one of the worst movies ever made, that meanders all over the place, unable to tell a story with any kind of narrative coherence. It's not that J. Edgar is such a bad movie, but it is boring and ineffectual. There's no passion behind it. All right, so that's it. So he doesn't like the movie. I won't go. I mean, if you liked it, I would have gone, right? Again, it's calling about Gitmo. You see, I started off on the wrong foot today. This is a hate-filled review, boy. This is not even a review. It's a hate-filled diatribe. They're just mad. They're just mad that nobody has smeared Hoover sufficiently. Rex Reed is mad that Hoover was not turned into a big enough monster. I was never afraid of him, frankly. And the reason I wasn't afraid of J. Edgar Hoover is because I was a little child. I was not a gangster in the mafia, and I was not a communist, nor was I a Ku Klux Klanman, nor was I a Hollywood elitist secret communist. So that's why I or no one I ever knew feared J. Edgar Hoover. How old is Rex Reed himself? Maybe someone ought to do a review of Rex Reed. Something's wrong with this review. I mean, he's really mad at whatever his name is. Anyway, I think the whole cross-dressing thing was made up by the communists in order to pass disinformation about J. Edgar Hoover, because people say that. The fact is anyone who's interested in the truth has read the Venona papers, and in the Venona papers, which disclose what the Soviets were doing to us in the 1950s, we know that Hollywood and the U.S. government and academia were dominated by communists. But I'm not going to go see it anyway. I'm not really sufficiently interested in the character, nor in Clint Eastwood. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? Charred? Why do you want to talk about J. Edgar Hoover? How about J. Edgar Charred? See, all you're calling about is Gitmo. And how about J. Edgar Charred? We can talk about how to make chard, the proper way to cook Italian chard. No, I do everything according to the news. In other words, because Berlusconi is out, I felt like eating Italian food tonight. So I looked at my wine cellar. I had an old cheap bottle of Chianti. I'm actually going to open it tonight. You'll see it'll be a better show tomorrow because I'll have a smashing hangover. Last night I ate Indian food and I don't feel good today. You know, why do I not feel good? The comet missed the Earth. That's good news, right? The four bimbos have tried to destroy Kane. Now they're going to gang up on him again. That should be great. You talk about campy comedy. Four of the ugliest middle-aged women in history are now saying he sexually assaulted them. It's unbelievable to me. Who would believe them? Nobody. Nobody believes them. The Occupy protests have gone nowhere. We understand that they're nothing but a bunch of violent would-be communists, and the city fathers are so afraid of them they won't kick them out, which they should have done a long time ago. I mean, they're wrecking the parks they're in. But what are you going to do? Call me about that? I'm stuck. I got to take a caller on Gitmo now, or in Italy. If you'd rather talk about Italy or Gitmo, please don't call the show. Call 911 because I don't want any more calls on Italy or on Gitmo. We have plenty of them. Call me on any of the other topics I mentioned, such as Jade Gahoover's alleged cross-dressing, Rex Reed's alleged reviewing. This is the worst hit piece I've ever seen in my life. What did Clint Eastwood do to Rex Reed? And why is whoever this guy is mad at Jade Gahoover so much? It is the Savage Nation. So why am I talking about this snitty review of Clint Eastwood's movie by Rex Reed? Because it's phenomenal in its hatred. And I'm not so sure J. Edgar was as bad a man as the left says he was. What don't they forgive him for? That he exposed the communists in Hollywood, the communists in government, the communists in academia? Then let's say they don't forgive him for that. Why then do they have to condemn him for being a closet homosexual or a crossdresser? Why don't they hold him up on a pedestal for that? In other words, that's now considered a great thing to be. You're saying like that. That's a value. It's a family value, cross-dressing or homosexuality. And so therefore, why don't they give the man credit for being a cross-dresser or a homosexual? The fact is I lived at some point in America when I was a kid when he was the head of the FBI. I don't know anybody who was afraid of him. Nobody I knew was afraid of J. Edgar Hoover. Why? Because nobody I knew was a communist. Nobody I knew as an adult now was a Ku Klux Klansman or a member of the mafia, or a communist. So nobody I knew feared J. Edgar Hoover. The only people we ever feared were the Wall Street vipers, because we knew they were destroying America. We saw the movies, what they became after 1968. All right, whatever. I think that was very interesting that I stumbled on this. It actually made my day. Clint Eastwood's not going to be happy with this, because he slams Clint Eastwood as well, saying he's too old for the job. Look, the only reason he's so snitty about this review is Eastwood probably didn't invite him to something or something to that effect, or J. Edgar Hoover didn't return one of his calls to share secrets about, you know, what kind of cultured pearls to buy. Something's wrong with this whole picture. It's good because it's popular culture. It's very popular. It's good because anything to be away from the Herman Cain story. I'll do anything but talk about the ugly women who are accusing Herman Cain and the Stalinists behind them, the vermin lawyers who I like to throw into Guantanamo. That woman who came out with those two lawyers, the man lawyer, got me angrier than Inglorious Pillhead, whatever. The fact of the matter is that man's face looked like the face of death itself, that lawyer that she had, whatever. So I don't want to talk about them anymore. I had enough. Obama's still here. He didn't go to Bali yet. In the middle of all this, Obama's dashing off to Bali. Mr. and Mrs. O are going to Bali. Unbelievable to me. Fast and Furious, Eric Holden, nothing will come of it. He already beat them on that. Herman Cain already, I'm not so sure. Like the man, but I think he's finished. I think they destroyed him. The media wrote 117 stories on him in about 5 days. Bill Clinton, they said it's his own business. It's his personal affairs. It's just shenanigans. Why are you pursuing a man about his personal business? See, there's a little difference. Minor difference. But don't call me Arcane, please, whatever you do. I beg you. No, not one more call about Herman Cain today. Not today. Friday will be Cain Day. Not today. Please, leave me alone on this already. What else is in the news? The market's down 400 points. Why? I told you already why. What else? Occupy my eye. I'd like to see them occupy jail cells. That's what I'd like to see them occupy. New York, Ron, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Hello, Michael. I just want to tell you that your comments about Rex Reed were brilliant. You did a better review of Rex Reed than Rex Reed did of the movie Clint Eastwood, Leonardo DiCaprio, or J. Edgar Hoover. And by the way, your comments about J. Edgar Hoover and what was happening in this country in the 50s and 60s is absolutely correct, and we're suffering from it right now.
Absolutely. He was a great FBI director, and I could care less whether he was gay or not. Why are gays obsessed with the fact that he might have been gay? That's what I don't understand. Why do they hound him on that issue?
I don't know, but you really were revealing in that. You might want to pursue that.
What? About why they're relentlessly hateful of him?
Yes,
if he actually was gay?
Yeah,
I don't understand it. In other words, if being gay today is a norm, then why would gays make that such a big issue?
I don't know. He did a marvelous job as far as fighting communism.
Yeah, absolutely. He didn't do a good enough job. He should have closed Hollywood down for a few years and cleaned it up altogether. There would have been three actors left and one director. Thanks for the call. Nobody in Hollywood, by the way, wants to buy Abuse of Power. Would you believe it? This is an interesting side story. I didn't mean to talk about it. My novel, 6 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, I guarantee you that's a phenomenal track record, more than any of the people who sneer at me have ever achieved. To a man, none of them have written a novel that was 6 weeks on a list, so they can only be envious of me. Oh, who's he? Who's he, some right-wing hack? 6 weeks, the novel, Abuse of Power, on the bestseller list. So my agent took it to a huge agency in L.A., and so far it's been turned down. The scenes are incredible. It's a great, fast-paced novel, high-intensity novel, with Jack Hatfield, a hardened former war correspondent, blah, blah, blah. It'd be an incredible movie. But even the conservative directors have turned it down because they're so afraid of Michael Savage being associated with me. I'm used to it by now. It doesn't bother me anymore. Because if it was the opposite, I would find something wrong. You know what I'm saying? If I had heard they were clamoring to produce the... Oh, yes, Michael Savage, yes, we forgive you for all of your patriotism. Oh, yes, we forgive you for all of your conservatism, Michael. Yes, we can't wait to do your movie, Michael. We're lining up for it. That's what I expected? So I am at the point where I may raise some money and produce the movie myself. I know I could do it for $10 to $30 million, depending upon who I use. I'm not going to use Leo D. whatever in it. I'm not going to hire a famous director to do it. You know how many talented actors and directors there are out there who no one really knows? Hollywood's filled with extremely talented writers, directors, and actors who you never heard of, who can do a superb job for very little money. And that's it. So I may or may not do the movie, but you're not going to see it. Remember I told you it'd be a movie? I don't think so. Politically, I'm on the blacklist. Oh, yes, a blacklist exists amongst the liberals who claim that they were against the Red Scare. Down there conducting a conservative scare. The very same liars who say that J. Edgar Hoover conducted a red scare are now conducting a red, white, and blue scare. Anyone who has too much red, white, and blue, they ban from Hollywood. They have to be like Muranos, have secret meetings. The Lincoln Organization, this organization. I never went to any of that. Here there's three conservative groups in L.A. They don't even want to have me there. Because I'm truly a man who marches to my own drummer. But I don't know who the drummer is. I'm looking for him. He was saying, march to your own drummer. Who's the drummer? I'm still looking for my own drummer. What? Penn State's Prez will be asked to resign. That's a horrible story. Oh, that's horrible. You really believe this guy raped a boy 7 years old in a shower and no one reported it? Or is this something, a crazy story or what? Yeah, whatever. I mean, I don't understand. I don't even know who Joe Pa is. I know he's a famous football coach. He's 79. And they're blaming him because he didn't report the coach who was allegedly raping the boys. It's frightening. Joe Paterno and university president are going down because of this. Well, look, if it's true, this is a horrible story. And a couple of them were charged with not reporting their sexual abuse to police and lying to grand jury under oath during the investigation. Those are serious charges. Anyone who ever touched a boy like that should be killed. Anybody who molests a boy, rapes a boy like that's number one. You want my feelings on it? They stole a boy's innocence. It was treated like that will be set. That's all. But why do you blame Joe Paterno for this? I don't understand that part of it. Pittsburgh, PA, you're in Pennsylvania. You wouldn't know. You're calling about the J. Edgar Hoover story. Sean, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Savage. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Not much. Just a brief little rundown here. I'm working on my master's in history right now at Slippery Rock University. Hopefully I can shed a little bit of light on this J. Edgar Hoover thing for you of why the gay community absolutely hates him.
Please, I really don't understand why they hate him.
One of the things I'll preface this with is one of the problems of history. You can never actually get an exact answer to any question. But what I can shed a little light on is that while J. Edgar was director of the FBI, he was renowned for being extremely hard on any homosexuals working under him. He would literally either make them, if he found a man or a woman, usually a man though, if it was a homosexual that worked for the department, they were either terminated on the spot or he made their lives miserable to the point where they would resign out of misery.
So that's why the gay community hates him today?
Like I said, no direct answers for history, but that if nothing else, it might shed a little bit of light on it for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's an interesting viewpoint. Did I lose you? I think your phone broke up.
No, sir, I'm still here.
Are there any other reasons he is hated other than he exposed communists for what they were and where they were?
Not that I know of. I'm not a American historian. My focus was on the Middle East and the Cold
Wasn't
War.
Wasn't there a case last week of an employee for Janet Napolitano, by the way, I don't know anything about his or her sexuality, who was found being a spy, Beowulf. Isn't that a story from last week? A top individual in the Department of Homeland Security was found sharing top military secrets with one of our enemies. How come that happened? How did that happen? Could it be that the government has moved in the other direction to such an extent that people can get away with virtual spying right under the noses of the heads of these departments? Thank you for the call. I don't know. I don't know who the person was. Here's a most important story coming up, bigger than Hoover's cross-dressing or wearing of pearls, which unto itself sounds cute to me. I mean, I don't understand why they're mad at him. And that shows his softer side. I mean, after all that hard work as the head of the FBI, he had to unwind, so he wanted to be soft. So what's the big deal? Why do you hold that against the man? Anyway, New York, W.R. Yoshi, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. My name is Yoshi from Borough Park. How are you?
What's your question or comment?
My question is, everybody going to leave Israel? Everybody going, nobody's going to help Israel with Iran if we go to war?
No, nobody's going to help Israel if Israel goes to war with Iran because America is filled with Israel-hating leaders. Obama is the most Israel-hating leader in the history of this country.
He said with the French president, I hate
that's Israel. Right. That's right. What, the French are anti-Semitic? Did you just discover that? And by the way, just as they say J. Edgar Hoover disdained gays because he was gay himself, the reason Sarkozy apparently doesn't like Israel is because he's half Jewish. But that's neither here nor there. No, of course they're not going to help Israel. Look, it's a big story. You know, you can laugh about it all you want, but we're facing Armageddon here. You want to run this one down? I don't even know how to begin this story. You want to run it through? You want to play the chess game out? Israel takes a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities. What happens next? Ships are sunk in the Hormuz Strait by Iran. What happens next? I mean, it's anyone's guess where this goes. What, China steps in? Russia steps in? Then what happens? Britain steps in and France steps in? It's no longer World War I with 3 million men killed on a battlefield. This is potentially a nuclear holocaust. So, of course, France and America are a little afraid of what Netanyahu may have to do. They don't even want to face the issue that Israel has to face. Nobody wants to face it. But it's the culmination, frankly, of the entire life of the state of Israel. In our lifetime, we're facing the entire culmination. The culmination of the entire life cycle of Israel is now up for a review and for grabs. I don't know how this ends. I don't know how it ends. Nobody does. I do not know where this is going to go. So nobody wants to talk about it. We'll talk about it after the bombs go off. What else can we say? New York, Pete, WOR, go ahead, please.
It's a pleasure to speak with you, Dr. Savage. I wish you had prime-time news so we could hear what's really happening. I wanted to mention about Cain is that I thought that the liberals put him in because they were afraid Obama's going to lose and they wanted another black man in as a president. I didn't think he was qualified. I still don't think he's qualified. But I think these women coming up, it's just the liberals got upset that he may have a chance. And they're trying to destroy this man, and he looks like an honest man. I just wish that he had a staff that was better equipped to let him answer these charges. And
well, I don't think he did. I think he went too far in his press conference yesterday. If I were advising him, I would have taken no questions or one or two questions. I think that the more he talked, the more vicious the so-called journalists became. And the more emboldened they became, because they're all cowards and just vipers of the lowest order. But that's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, I don't know if the damage has been done and he's finished. I don't know. I mean, the voters have to determine that. So what is it going to be, Romney versus Obama? Who wins then?
I don't know. But the
see, if Romney is the selected, anointed Republican candidate, he does not get the conservative vote. They won't vote for him at all. Don't assume they're going to come out anyway. They won't. It's been proven in the past that the Tea Party, if you want to put it that way, or the conservatives will not even vote if Romney is the candidate. He will not excite them to come out to vote. In that case, Obama wins again, and I think the fix is in. I think that's why Obama looks so, calm. I think he knows that the fix is in. I think he knows he's got four more years. I hate to be this cavalier about it, but it looks like that to me. Thank you for the call. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong. By what I've seen go on in this country, they're fixing the election already. That's all. Why? 8 years Republican, 8 years Democrat. 8 years Democrat, 8 years Republican. So we had 8 years of Republican, and it would have been only 4 years of the Democrats to divide up the tax base and screw the American taxpayer. Now they need another 4 years to complete their work, to make sure they build enough bridges and roads to nowhere. So where is he going? He's going to Asia now. He's going to Bali. That's a nice place if you like people who spit betel nut juice on your shoes. It's a hellhole, by the way, if you've ever been there. Bali. It's not a great place to go to. I was quite surprised as a young anthropologist to learn that Bali was a hellhole. And the person who first alerted me to the fact that Bali is a hellhole was someone I had never met. He was one of the husbands of Margaret Mead named Marston Bates, I think was his name, right? Marston Bates. And he spent years in Indonesia, especially in Bali. And he wrote the most scathing analysis of the people in Bali. He hated them. He couldn't stand them. He thought they were disgusting, spitting betel juice everywhere in the street. Betel nut juice. But okay, you're not allowed to say that. After all, it's a third world country, and they're more sacred than we are. The Air Force One will be flying an estimated 50 hours in 10 days from Washington, San Diego, to Honolulu, to Canberra, to Darwin, to Bali, and then back to Washington. The 50 hours of flight time multiplied by the $181,000 per hour to operate Air Force One amounts to more than $9 million, not including the cost of staff time for those traveling with him. I think Mrs. O is going, too. She wants to. She's the Lord of the Fries, I named her. I shouldn't say that. They had terrible food in Indonesia, too, the rice table. It's not very good food. But what is he going there for? He is he is going there to attend CECO, and now it gives an announcement he's cutting waste. He's going to cut waste by spending $9 million going to Bali on a vacation? That makes sense. Where's Jade Gahuva now that we need him? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mr. Hoover, some people are saying today that communism is no longer a danger to our country. What is your opinion about that?
Senator, I think that communism is as serious a menace to the United States as it ever was, if not more so. The tendency to judge the strength of the Communist Party by its membership in numbers is fallacious, and I think can lead us into very serious trouble, because today you have in charge of the Communist Party a hardcore, fanatical group of members who are dedicated to the overthrow of our government by force and violence. The Communist Party itself is a part of an international criminal conspiracy for the destruction of the American way of life. It's headed up into Moscow by Nikita Khrushchev, who serves in a dual capacity, first as the secretary of the Russian Communist Party, which is the governing body of communism in the world, and secondly as the head of the Soviet government.
Well, that's the actual voice of J. Edgar Hoover during the Cold War period. Things haven't really changed that much. When you look at who we have in the White House, who we have around him, the fact that we have hardcore Marxists in the streets in the Occupy movement as part of the street brigades, starting their maneuvers to try to destroy the middle class, Hoover wasn't wrong, as a matter of fact. And how anybody could not see this is beyond me. Now we have a guy in the White House who passes an executive order calling for belt tightening before he leaves on a $9 million junket to Bali. It's astonishing to me. I mean, what is he going to Bali for? For a vacation. And he's taking his wife and mother-in-law again, and we're not supposed to say anything about it? $9 million to fly Air Force One 50 hours. $9 million. And we're supposed to believe that the executive order is going to really cut into anything. So there it is. The man who predicted the collapse of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He's still there. Still there. 1-800, oh God, we're out of time. How could this be? Eastwood supports Kane. Right, I saw that. Eastwood does support Herman Kane. I saw the review in the LA Times. That could be why Rex Reed hates him. There was a tie in. Mary Lee of Pittsburgh, thanks for that call. I see that. One of the reasons Rex Reed hates the Eastwood movie is that Eastwood supports Herman Kane because Kane is a self-made man.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It has only been within recent years that we have been able to learn what tremendous outrages have been practiced in the name of parole, what wholesale opening of cell doors has transpired, what abortions of justice have been carried out by these high priests of sentimentality, who open the prison doors to murderers, thieves, outlaws, and sex criminals, that they might again descend upon the honest citizen to rob and beat and kidnap and murder. We must not for a moment lose sight of our goal, to teach the criminal that regardless of his subterfuges, his squirming, his twisting and slimy wriggling, he cannot escape the one inexorable rule of law enforcement: you can't get away with it.
That's J. Edgar Hoover, who the left absolutely detests, hates him. And frankly, there wasn't a word he just said that I took offense with. Now, again, that the Republicans are going to commit suicide again tonight, a slow harikari. Another debate, if you can believe it. Now, if this is not stupid, I'd like to know what else it is. Why are the Republicans having so many obscene debates again tonight? Again, another one, this time in Michigan at a college. And who's conducting it? CNBC. Another division of General Electric, which paid no taxes last year on their income in America. So ask yourself if there's not a government media complex. And the Republicans are part of the government media complex. And they're playing into the game. That's all. What, I should get excited about it? I don't watch these debates. I find them boring beyond belief. I learn nothing from them. And the only beneficiary of them is Obama. who is rushing out of the country as fast as he can to enjoy another vacation with Mrs. O in Bali. Okay, let's take your callers here on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Okay, Sacramento, Carmen, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, when Crash Hour said she was speaking on behalf of all women, I mean, this infuriated me, because if she was so...
She's full of it. You know what she is. She's a serial lawsuiter.
She's
a fraud through and through, in my opinion. She has zero credibility. She worked for the INS, and she sued the U.S. government because they wouldn't give her a job at home. Okay? Part of her settlement was to send her to college and give her money and this and that and let her work out of her house, and they wouldn't do it, so she sued them. The woman has sued one job place after another. Now she comes up with that he did something to her. What did he do to her? He said she was short, like his wife?
Well, if it happened,
what are you going to do is look at her lawyer to know who she is.
Well, she wasn't speaking on behalf of me, because I would have spoken.
I get it. She wasn't speaking on behalf of me either. Texas, Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage. I just had a question for you. Why does the media spend so much time on these Herman Cain accusations of sexual harassment, but I haven't heard a lick of anything from the Jesse Jackson scandal?
No, of course, the illegitimate child, they gave him a pass. But when Bill Clinton was known to be the serial whatever adulterer, if you want to put it that way, they said that it's his personal business. Every liberal woman got up and said it's his personal business. Why harp on it? We know that it's a double standard, and that's the end of it. Why talk about it? We know what a double standard is. What else is in the news on the Savage Nation? The weak economy takes center stage at tonight's debate. Big deal. What are they going to say that you haven't heard already? Herman Cain has a 999 plan. I have no idea what it means. Do you really know what the 999 plan is? It does sound gimmicky to me. I mean, we need to revise the tax code, make the poor pay something. Make the 40-some-odd percent who pay no taxes pay something. Make people who go to Medicare, any doctor on the Medicare, pay $25 per visit. You want to straighten things out? How about co-payments on visits to government-paid health plans? Let's start with that. Getting more of the poor to pay. Getting more of the people in the lower quadrant to pay taxes would be a very good start. Getting companies like General Electric to pay their fair share instead of evading taxes altogether. Notice I didn't say don't tax corporations who evade taxes. Tax them. Sacramento, Petri, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to share information about abuse of power. You mailed me the book. Thank you very much. And I myself am not the avid reader. I don't read that fast. So I passed it on to my mother real quick. And my mother, so I drilled her with questions to review and share with you.
Okay, what has she told you?
Well, I asked her first off what was her favorite paragraph, because that's what you were kind of
after.
So on page 344.
Hold on. Let me turn to 344. Abuse of power. Oh, that's near the end. I hope it doesn't give away too much of the plot. Go ahead.
Okay, so he was torn with emotion. She was up there, and she was alive, standing 746 feet above the bay against the protective railing.
I can't let you read anymore, because that's giving away too much of the plot. But you're ready down to the last part of the book. It is a very good piece. It's very, very good, but I can't read any more of it, because if we do, the whole plot will be given away. And now a word from one of my important advertisers, and I told you about Envoy Medical, because why? This is a show about knowledge. This is a show about family values. This is a show about information, and this is a show about passing on your knowledge and your information, in this case, maybe to your children and grandchildren. Why? Because if you pass it on, you're passing on your greatest legacy. But what if you suffer from hearing loss? This gift could be lost. What's the solution? Well, perhaps the effective two-way communication that you are used to or were used to, that's the solution. Well, there's a new medical breakthrough for those with hearing loss called the Esteem Hearing Implant. It's a revolutionary solution. It's 100% invisible, so you can keep up your active lifestyle. The Esteem Hearing Implant delivers a natural improvement to your hearing with a natural clarity of sound. Do you hear me? Learn about this new breakthrough and give your children a legacy they're going to cherish for a lifetime. How? Call 1-800-953-5453. Do you hear me? 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. That's 800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com. Do it now. Call 1-800-953-5453 or envoymedical.com for a list of side effects and benefits associated with esteem. Visit envoymedical.com.
Savage.
Anyone really, let me ask you something. Let's clear the air. Can anyone really run this country? Let's be fair. Is Obama as bad as we think? Okay, he's a far leftist, probably a secret Marxist. He's abusing his office as president by just taking advantage of the office, frankly, in so many ways. It's an embarrassment to watch what he's doing. But can anyone really save this country? You look at the candidates. Michelle Bachmann, put an X through her, okay? Why? She's just finished. Amway, I mean, if you want to buy, you know, whatever. Newt Gingrich, retread. John Huntsman, never heard of him. Ron Paul, I know you're going to get mad at me. Forget about it. He's not winning. Can't win. He doesn't have the looks to be a president. They're never going to vote for him. They'll pick Obama over him in a minute. Rick Perry, I'd vote for him. I don't think he's going to make it to the finish line. Mitt Romney is actually saying I would eliminate taxes on dividends and capital gains for middle-income taxpayers. That's a clear plan. At least it's something. See, here's the thing about Romney. He looks like a president, sounds like a president. If he walks like a president, talks like a president, he could be a president. I felt that from the beginning. He would actually represent America as a president in a magnificent way. So just looks-wise, if you're into the Academy Awards thing, he should win. But in terms of politics, yes, he's a middle-of-the-road country club, check pants Republican type. Yes, he's done a lot of liberal social stuff. We know that. But in terms of taxation, he might actually be better for the middle class than you imagine. And I think he's going to be the candidate. What I don't understand is why it has to be winner takes all. Why can't it be, you want to hear a winning ticket? Romney slash Kane. Winning ticket instantly. Never happened. It should be a Romney-Kane ticket. They sweep into power. But they don't want Kane anywhere near them. He's too, you know, he's like they call him a loose cannon. In other words, he speaks the truth. Boca Raton. Rat's mouth. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I believe that Herman Cain should drop out of the race because even if he didn't drop out of the race, the Republicans are too racist to vote another black man into office.
Oh, that makes me laugh because you're right. I agree with you. You mean all Republicans are racist? I think what you mean is the Republican Party hierarchy is definitely against blacks. I agree with you.
That's right, and I don't think they want to have another black man in office.
No, well, that's absolutely true. There's no question that they have a problem with that issue. The Republican hierarchy, no matter what they say, is skittish about blacks and Jews and women. There's no question about it. They are. I mean, it's just the way it is, not to mention all of the other minorities. This is a fact. They've been trying to get away from it for years, but we all know it's true. And on the converse, the Democrat hierarchy is uncomfortable with white males, even though the hierarchy is all white males. How do you figure that one?
I don't know, but they hate all homosexuals, transsexuals, anybody who's a minority from a different country. They hate.
Wait. Who hates them? Wait, who hates them?
The hierarchy, the Republicans.
What you mean the Democrat? Wait, hold it. You're mixing me up. The Democrats love blacks. That's why they're attacking Kane?
No, they stand up for the blacks, and they stand up for the minorities.
Whoa. They stand up for the blacks? That's why they're slinging mud at Kane with these lies? How does that make sense?
That's because Kane is a white man in black skin.
Oh, that's about the most racist thing I've ever heard. You mean in order to be a real black man, you have to be a screaming fake revolutionary like Al Sharpton? Is that a real black man?
I would say that Al Sharpton is sticking up for what he believes in.
So in other words, to you, a real black man is a flame-throwing, hateful man who threatens and screams at everybody and blackmails everybody with their mouth. Is that your idea of what a black man should be?
No, Herman.
You mean any black man who has the dignity to try to do it on his brains is a white man in disguise?
I think that Herman Cain is just acting like what he's acting like so he'll get voted in. I think he's not standing to his roots.
What are his roots? What would his roots reflect? He should grow an afro and scream at people?
No, I believe that if he looks back on his roots, he'll see that the blacks have been oppressed for the past 200 years.
Oh, give me a... I'm sick and tired of hearing this already with the black oppression. You have a black president. Stop with that that lie already. I'm sick of it. You know what percent of the federal government is run by black people? Why don't you stop this bull crap already with the victimhood? And if your friends in the Democrat Party love blacks so much, why are they attacking Herman Cain?
They're attacking Herman Cain because Herman Cain doesn't stand for everything that a black man should stand for.
Well, what should a black man stand for? I'm asking you. You're not answering me. You're telling me that somebody who is offensive and loud and threatening is a black man? And somebody who is polite and dignified and intelligent, who has a real master's degree, is not a black man? What do you hold his education against him? What do you want, a street preacher as a black man? That's the real black man. A street preacher with a fake reverend's degree. That's your idea of a black man?
I believe that a black man should stand up and say, when my people are being oppressed by the whites.
Excuse me, you didn't finish the sentence. Is that a whole sentence? Are you still there, Joe, or what happened? Your medication ran out? I guess she's not there anymore. The hospital shut off the public phone. I guess that the quarter ran out. It sounds like the quarter ran out in the Boca Raton Nut House. Wherever they let her use the quarter there. She could have called collect, Beowulf. We would have had a little more fun. I mean, I've heard stupidity. This won a prize. I was about to give her a prize, this woman. Herman Cain is not a real black man because he's not offensive enough. Is that what she was implying? I don't know whether she was pulling my leg or what, but I actually think some of the Democrat drug takers think that way. I still support Cain. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say I don't. I do. I like the man. I hope he wins. But if he doesn't, I'll vote for Romney. If Romney doesn't win it, I'll vote for Perry. But the way it looks to me is they're setting it up for Romney to run against Obama, in which case I think Obama will win, because Romney, as I'll say to you again, as nice and as decent a man as he is, will not excite the base. They will not vote for him by and large. The mistake the Republicans are making is the one they made before, which is they have no choice. They have to vote for our candidate. Wrong. Wrong. If the base doesn't come out, you don't get elected. Haven't you learned that yet, you dummies, you idiots in Washington? When are you morons in the RNC going to figure that out? Never. The reason that blacks, like that woman, hate Cain is he's too educated and too smart. He doesn't have to resort to the level of a uneducated street reverend with a fake degree in order to get where he is. He got there because he's intelligent and educated. I guess that's not black to people like the woman who called. It's sickening. Alabama, Carol, on another topic, go ahead, please. I'm telling you, something's going to happen very bad. Ohio, Kate, what's on your mind?
Wondering how you feel about Newt Gingrich. He seems intelligent. We all have skeletons in our closet.
I'm not a fan of Newt Gingrich. I think he's a beltway bandit, and I'm not a fan of Newt Gingrich. I think he's been around too long. I affectionately called him names in one of my books, The Political Zoo, about 5 years ago, and I really haven't changed my opinion of him. At the same time, I named Bill O'Reilly the leprechaun. I named Newt Gingrich something else. I don't even remember what I caricatured him as. I'm not a fan of Newt Gingrich. I don't think he really stands for what he says he stands for. I think he's a purely political animal, and I don't trust him in plain English.
I thought he'd be...
Secondly, let's be real. Let's go to the next election. It's Barack Obama versus a fat old white man who we've seen for 20 years. Who wins?
Yeah, that's true.
Right, let's start again. A fat old white man with a pasty face versus a young, dynamic young man named Barack Obama. Who wins, considering the state of the mind of the American electorate? Okay, so there's your answer right there. Whereas if you have Cain versus Obama, Cain wins. Because everything Obama is not, Cain is. Everything that Obama is not, Cain is. You understand what I'm saying? And they don't want that. They don't want an authentic black man like Cain to be up there facing Obama, because it will show Obama for being what he is, which is an inauthentic creation of the liberal Democrat socialist establishment, in plain English. But the real issue here is the economy. As I said to you, Italy got rid of Berlusconi because the economy is in the toilet. And that's because they have the absolutely worst, perhaps the worst work ethic in Europe is in Italy, next to Greece. I don't even know if they know how to work in Italy. I think they work four-hour days. They retire at 57. They go on three-month vacations. Who's gonna support an economy like that? All they do is sit around and drink wine and smoke cigars and talk to each other. If not, they go to San Francisco and sit in North Beach and talk about how great Italy is. I mean, for God's sakes, it's not a real work-driven society. So they're bankrupt. Now, who do they want to bail them out? The Germans? The hardworking Germans should bail out the lazy Greeks, the lazy Italians, the lazy Irish. Who else should they bail out? There's just not enough money to go around in plain English. Live with your parents till you're 60.
Savage.
Calling the House Un-American Activities Committee to order, Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry. The committee is seeking to determine if Red Party members have reached the screen with subversive propaganda. A long list of prominent motion picture witnesses appear before the committee. Speaking for the films, Eric Johnston, president of the Motion Picture Association, talks frankly concerning the attitude of the producers.
We're accused of having communists and communist sympathizers in our employ. Undoubtedly, there are such persons in Hollywood.
Well, there were. Well known. Absolutely known. As I say to you, read the Venona papers if you're doubting Thomas. And if you think this is old news, you're wrong. Communists have penetrated our government today. They're all over the Obama administration. Shall I name a few of them? One of them was fired. If you remember, Anita Dunn, who glorified Mao Zedong. How about that guy, the activist, whose name I forget? He was all over the news for a while. Almost every last one of them, every last one of them in his secret cabinet called the Czars, is an avowed Marxist in one way or another. So don't tell me that this was all made up. And all of these Occupy movements right now, what do you think, they're happening by accident? This is all part of the worldwide socialist agenda. Today in California, this just came out, here at the University of California at Berkeley, a group of malcontent losers who can't get a job, joining with the ACORN people, joining with the SEIU, the union. I've tried to take over the Berkeley campus, and the UC campus police moved in and stopped these rats before they took over the campus. Good for them. Good for them. Throw them in jail. Teach them what real life is about. That just because they get a degree doesn't mean there's a job waiting for them. And yet in Oakland, did you hear this news? Occupy protesters shut down city council. Oakland City Council members are swarmed by protesters as they call for the immediate dismantling of the camp. So they're letting these roving rats now dictate what's going on in the city. Where is the National Guard? Why is Jerry Brown letting this go on? Because Jerry Brown is a fellow traveler. Jerry Brown was put in power by the very unions who are occupying the cities. That's why. So don't tell me J. Edgar Hoover was wrong. Take a look around you and see what's going on in this country. I only wish to God we had a J. Edgar Hoover. Half the governors would be in jail. Half the cabinet would be in jail. We'd have a better country. Unbelievable to me. It's frightening to see what's going on right in front of your eyes. These Occupy movements are classic communist takeover games. Classic. Just study them. How do you think the Russian Revolution began? You think it happened overnight? It was the same group of elite spoiled brats, because if you studied the Bolshevik Revolution, you'll find out that the leaders were all from the upper middle class. All of them, the same exact story all over again. Don't underestimate what's going on in your country right now. And it's happening because Jerry Brown in California was put in power by the unions, and he won't send in the National Guard to arrest these snot-nosed brats and put an end to this already. Now take a look at your state, where it's going on, and ask yourself why your Democrat governor is doing nothing about it. Ask yourself why. Because they were put in power by the unions, the corrupt unions, at that. Nothing wrong with a union if it's not corrupt. The corrupt unions. I'm all for a union that's for the worker, but not a corrupt union. That's all. Sacramento, Dave, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. Good to talk to you. I have a point to make about Mr. Cain. Mr. Cain is the epitome of what a true, strong black man is.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. The screaming, loudmouth radical who threatens everybody. To me, that's not representative of a race. That's representative of a style.
That's fake. It's fake and it's false.
I know the H-Rap Brown game, the 1960s. Many of these people got very far threatening everybody, you know, with the riots and the this and that. It's old already. No one goes for it anymore. Everyone's sick of it with the sham game, bringing the people around.
I agree. You know, so
you and I are absolutely CKing the same way. He's a fine man, and what they're doing to him is not very fine. It's disgusting. Las Vegas, Sandy, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I just would say that I'd rather have a womanizer in the White House than a Marxist socialist.
You mean even if it's true that he made passes at the women, so what?
What? I mean, what man hasn't done that? And he isn't, pure white as a driven snow, but he's a human being, he's a man, and I don't think he's a Marxist or a communist or a socialist. And
right, I understand what you're saying. That's even if it is true, which I doubt. Incidentally, that shouldn't be the be-all and end-all of his campaign, whether or not he looked at a woman and said she was short.
Right. We know who's right? Short in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. That's considered sexual harassment today. Saying to a woman, you're the same size as my wife. That's considered sexual harassment because of the degenerates in the law profession. Let that be. Thank you for the call. New York, WOR Ralph, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you. Prepare for 4 more years of the same. Obama's a shoo-in at this point in time. And frankly, Michael, Cain is not presidential timber. He's a good man, and you could see that every time he speaks. Do I believe the allegations? No, I don't. But I don't believe he's presidential. And Perry is a flash in the pan. He has no legs. Mitt Romney will win the nomination, Michael, but he'll be defeated, and we'll be talking a year and a half from now about the country going down the tubes even further. That's
why do you agree with me that Romney's been selected to throw the race? I mean, basically, you're confirming my suspicions.
Michael, Romney is old guard. We've seen his type before. Yes, he looks very presidential. You're on point with that point because he looks like a president, but frankly, that's not enough. And don't think that the Mormon issue is passé because it's very much alive. These people.
Oh, I know that fundamentalist Christians don't trust Mormons. It's a shame that his religion would become an issue when Obama's religious non-affiliations were never an issue. How about Obama's attendance at that despicable church that hated America? He sat there for 20 years. Why was that not a campaign issue?
Well, conveniently, the media forgets all about that. In fact, they glorify it, Michael. They not only forget about it. Well, that's
because they're in favor of a Bolshevik revolution in America. Let's be clear. Most of the people in the lowly journalism professions are poorly paid, poorly educated. Most of them were C students who couldn't do anything else, and they sympathize with the Bolshevik revolution.
Hey, let me throw this.
What they don't understand, though, is that they will lose the little bit that they have to the protesters. In fact, I said that to one of the local writers here in the newspaper who was glorifying the Occupy protests. I said, hey, idiot, you'll be the first to lose your job, moron, when they come to take your job and occupy the San Francisco Chronicle. He never answered me. He doesn't seem to understand that he's not immune.
Well, those freaks are right near my house as we speak. I have to pass them every single day. And let me tell you what's out there. You know what's out there, Michael? A mishmash of nonsensical causes, everything you could imagine, every cause known to man, every stupid cause, every stupid pursuit is out there to be with signs that make no sense whatsoever. And
well, that's the good news is to show that they're a bunch of zanies, potheads. All they do is smoke dope and drink all night, have sex in the tent, running to the STD clinic. I mean, they're almost the word I'm looking for is a stereotype image of the stupid hippie protester of the 60s. They're almost enacting a cartoon version of what people think of them. They're acting out exactly what people think they are.
And, Michael, they don't have the heart of the people of the 60s. The 60s, you
of course not, because they don't really have a cause. They don't have a cause. In the 60s, the cause was end the Vietnam War. End the Vietnam War, there was a single issue, a single cause. And many of the people listening to this show who are over 50 actually sympathized with that anti-war sentiment. Even if they were in the military, at a certain point they realized it had gone on too long, that there was something wrong with that whole picture. Again, it was the military-industrial complex. It was a fact that Johnson was wrong. They were all wrong. And look who ended the Vietnam War. It was Nixon who ended it, by the way, not a Democrat. Isn't that intriguing?
You're right about that. They're misfits. They're outcasts. You know, Michael, the businesses surrounding the area have gone down.
Why does the great governor of New York not step in and send in the National Guard and clean up the parks and hose them down and put them in prison for 60 days? Not for protesting, but for violating the civility of the city. Why? Tell me why the governor and the mayor do nothing.
He made a monumental mistake in the beginning, Michael. If you recall, he said, you can stay as long as you like.
And I'm talking about Governor Cuomo, Democrat, union man. Why is he not driving them out of the parks since they're disrupting Wall Street and disrupting businesses all over New York? Why has Governor Cuomo sat silently and watched this go on? This is certainly not good for his public relations.
Well, I will tell you that it would be political suicide to a certain extent for him to say anything. There's a reason why these people are silent. It's because if you look on TV, Michael, they're held up to be some sort of heroes and some sort of...
Governor Cuomo is identical to Governor Jerry Brown. They are both put in power by the all-too-powerful unions. The unions want these riots in the streets. I do not understand why the unions want these riots in the streets, since the hand that feeds them are the corporations. The hands that feed the unions are actually the corporations. There's something wrong with the entire picture. It's a massive distraction to take our mind off what Obama is actually doing to the society, economically and socially. Having said that, Ralph, and having said it numerous times, too numerous to mention, I'm going to send you a present for the holidays, Abuse of Power, my new best-selling thriller. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. In a few minutes, the idiotic Republican Party is going to have yet another self-immolating debate, again making it a country safe for Barack Hussein Obama. So I'll take your calls because I cannot believe that I'm watching the demise of the Republican Party in slow motion. I've never seen anything like this, frankly. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. Jeff in Boston on WRKO Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. Very simple. If America does not change its direction, we will become Zimbabwe. And I believe that Obama will win the next election, especially if we have another 9/11 attack. Mark my words, the targets of these 9/11 attacks will be liberal bastions. That's what the Muslims will target. When that happens, we will be finished. We'll be beyond the point of no return. Martial law will be declared.
Wait. I don't understand. What's going to trigger all of this?
Another 9/11 attack perpetrated by the Muslims already in this country. I believe this will happen.
Well, I guess that you could come to the conclusion that the power structure is planning some sort of national emergency, given that just today they turned off all radios and televisions in the country so that should the president at any time wish to give a single message to everyone and turn everything else off, he could do so. I guess the internet is next, isn't it?
Exactly. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, communications will be shut.
The man is signaling something. Obama is signaling his tyranny in so many different ways. It astonishes me that he gets away with it. But then again, I know that the fifth column is actively working to make certain he gets away with it. Again, I have to explain to the audience what the fifth column is. The press was at one time called the fourth estate, and its sacred function was to keep the politicians honest. It was to point out the lies, the inconsistencies, the thievery of the political class. That was the fourth estate. They were supposed to be the watchdogs of our society. Instead, they have now become the lapdogs of the Obama administration, as you well understand. So when I made up the statement, the fourth estate has become the fifth column, many people understood what I said because they have some knowledge of history. Others don't understand it. What is the fifth column? In, I believe, the Spanish Civil War, I believe so, there was a general who said that traitors were marching along with the military, disguised in military uniforms, but in fact they were traitors. The fifth column of soldiers, he said, were traitors. So that's where the word or the phrase fifth column came from the Spanish Civil War. So when I say the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column, now you understand what I mean. Instead of marching with the people, the Fourth Estate has become a traitorous group of anti-American operatives. 99% of them are anti-American operatives. When I say anti-American, what do I mean? I mean the way of life that gave you your freedom and gave you your life itself. The way of life that your ancestors fled Europe or fled Asia for. That way of life is anathema to the fifth column in this country, the Fourth Estate. The fifth column in this country wants some kind of collectivism. The fifth column in this country wants some sort of national government that controls us from cradle to grave, because somehow they think that we'd be better off with groupthink rather than individual think, which is why we hate people in the press corps. If you really didn't hate them before, you now hate them after seeing what they did to Herman Cain. It doesn't mean you have to like Herman Cain, or it doesn't mean you have to have voted for Herman Cain. All you have to do is be fair-minded enough to see what these rats who call themselves journalists have done to this decent man. 117 stories have been published about these allegations. 117 stories published about these allegations in 1 week alone. You call that a press? You call that a free press corps? I call that a group of propagandists of the lowest order. And that's all there is to it. So that's why I'm worked up over the Cain thing. It's not that I'm such a giant fan of Herman Cain that he's the best man in the history of the world. I don't like what they're doing to him. I don't like it at all. I don't like a man being vilified like this, especially when I see the low-life, white trash, gold-digging vermin that are coming out of the woodwork. These over-the-hill nobodies who think that they're going to have their place in the sun by attacking this black man. And I'll tell you something else, because I'll say it again in case you haven't heard it before in the Savage Nation. Look at how low the Democrat operatives are, that they would attack Herman Cain in a way that is so overtly racist that it's shocking. Why do I say racist? What is the number one fear that they're playing on? Black man molests white woman. This is astonishing. This is like the antebellum South all over again. And who's perpetrating it? Not the Republicans, but the liberal Democrat smear machine. They're perpetrating, he raped my Jenny. You know what that story is, don't you? Black men were lynched, for God's sakes, in the South after the Civil War. They were lynched on false charges of rape. Anytime there was a slut in town who came home crying and the father said, where were you? She said, he did it to me. Who? The black man did it to me. He raped me. And they went out and hung an innocent black man. That's what they're doing here. And how you liberals cannot see that, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. But I know, I've learned liberals have no shame. What you're going to do is look at Gloria Allred to know what I'm talking about. They have no shame. In my opinion, they have no honor, no decency, no humanity whatsoever. That's what you've seen this week. Never mind Herman Cain. You've seen the face of hate. You've seen the face of evil. And you've seen a touch of evil on all of them. Every last one of them making these accusations is not fit to hold Herman Cain's shoes, as far as I am concerned. And that's all I want to say about it tonight. That's all I want to say again. I didn't even plan to talk about it. But I got that caller again accusing the Republicans of being racist because Herman Cain's not a real black man. A real black man is what, a fake preacher who got a degree in a candy store and then hustled everybody his whole life? That's a real black man? Or another con artist who held fake demonstrations outside companies and shook them down with the lie about give to my organization? That's your idea of a black man? Not my idea. Herman Cain is the real man. Herman Cain is a decent man. Herman Cain transcends race. He's a dignified, decent man. And see, they want to get a threesome out of Herman Cain. They want to destroy a man. They want to destroy a black. And they want to destroy a Christian. That's what they really want. That's what's exercised all of these low-life, disgusting, degenerate lawyers who should be disbarred for what they did. If we had a decent country, there'd be a bar association, but the bar association doesn't exist in this country. It's people exactly like Gloria Allred. That's the bar association. There is no law in this country. There's no order in this country. There's no civility in this country. The lawyers destroyed the nation. The lawyers have destroyed America. They made it so any woman could say he looked at me wrong and made me uncomfortable. That's considered sexual assault or sexual harassment. That's the sickness of America. That is the poison, the disease that has been injected into this workplace by these louts with law degrees. And who is the victim of it? You are. We all are. And that's why the country is going bankrupt, because of the rotten, stinking tort lawyers. That's why. They should have been reined in a long time ago. They're out of control.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the topics and some of the questions we've been talking about. The stock market fell almost 400 points today, the Dow Jones. And who do you think is most to blame for it? The European mess, Italy? Obama's fiscal insanity? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? This week, a Colorado court awarded $15 million to a trucker who claimed that she slipped and fell on a grease spill at a retail store. $15 million. Are you a business owner who's been sued on false claims by a customer? What effect did it have on your business? And what eventually happened to the fake lawsuit customer? We've also talked about Herman Cain, who has been assaulted by one lying woman after another. And have you been falsely accused, we've been asking? What were you accused of? What effect did it have on your life, your career? Were you ever able to erase the stain that these false accusations made on your existence? By the way, the networks hit Herman Cain with 117 stories. 117 stories. ABC accusers are now banding together to seek safety in numbers from Cain. Good Morning America's show played up fears that Herman Cain supporters might physically attack the women who have accused the Republican of sexual harassment. And the number of Cain harassment stories reached an astonishing 117 stories in less than 10 days. Listen to what Good Morning America moron Ross intoned. Overnight, accuser Karen Krausauer told ABC News she had tried to stay out of the news for fear of retaliation by Cain supporters, and now she has hired a security team to guard her home outside Washington. Can you believe this? The fake journalist on ABC later added that all four accusers might appear together so they can all tell their stories of Herman Cain with a sense of safety in numbers. I cannot believe this. In a follow-up segment, former Democratic operative turned fake journalist George Stephanopoulos expressed incredulity to GOP strategist Mary something or other. He said, but to believe Cain, you have to believe that all four accusers are lying. Can you hold that line even if they all go public? Well, you get this? When Stephanopoulos worked for Bill Clinton, he did his best to discredit multiple women who accused the politician Bill Clinton of more than inappropriate sexual conduct. I don't want to relive it to you. It's quite boring. But it's unbelievable to me that none of these stories have focused on the women themselves and that they're serial sewers. Other stories in the news today on michaelsavage.com. Liberals make deal with violent anti-Zionist Occupy Wall Street devil. You didn't know that? Colorado Supreme Court says a $15 million award to a trucker who fell at a Walmart should stand. How could that be? $15 million? It's unbelievable to me. How could you? $15 million? Well, that's some of the stuff we've been talking about. Believe me, it's even worse than that. Here are some of the other stories that have made it to michaelsavage.com. Let's go there together. I mean, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down almost 400 points, mainly, I think, on the news coming out of Italy. I can't blame this on Obama, or can we? Their economics are actually
about the same as ours. The difference is in Italy, they cannot print their own money because they're part of the euro system. We can print our own money, but fundamentally because of the Democrat socialists who are spending like crazy, we're in worse shape than Italy. Kane accuser has history of suing workplaces. Read it. She complained 3 years later at her next job. Okay? Here we put together facts that undermine the Kane accuser story on michaelsavage.com. Have you read Abuse of Power yet? Okay, you haven't? Then read a free excerpt and then order your copy for the holidays before this first printing is gone. Abuse of Power. You can download the free chapter on michaelsavage.com. What else is in the news? Election worker bites voter's nose outside polling place. In England, the number of men aged 25 to 34 living with their parents has skyrocketed. They simply cannot afford to pay for their own accommodation. And so they're in the street drinking and smoking marijuana and living in tents instead of looking for a job. Number of men aged 25 to 34 living with their parents rockets to 18.6%, the highest level since 1960. Oh, poor boys. Poor boys. Poor boys. I guess they don't know what to do with themselves. And by the way, that's not just in England. Oh, this is, I see. This is in America. The Wall Street Journal reports that a typical example is that of Cody something or other, age 25, of Portland, Oregon. Lost his job installing granite counters. Marriage broke up and he found himself back living with his parents. So what do they want? What do they want me to do? I don't understand this. What's the big deal? So you stay at home with your parents. In the past, 3-4 generations lived in the same house, didn't they, Beowulf?
They want their freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the picture of the guy. I am human.
But at age 27, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has a net worth of $17 billion. I guess they should occupy Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, we deserve some of those billions ourselves.
Well, they're just as smart and just as lucky as him, right?
That's right. We go on Facebook, too.
Okay, what else is in the news? Let's see. White House takes axe to Christmas tree tax. Obama was going to tax Christmas trees, but I guess he didn't think it would be a good idea for the election cycle. Solyndra, the fake solar company that went bust. Biden staff, big fans. Really? I'm shocked. Penn State child abuse case claims a famed coach who I never heard of, Joe Paterno. The poor man at age 79 is retiring amid allegations that a top assistant sexually abused boys. He knew about it and said nothing about it. Wow, you talk about the loss of a person's everything, right? The Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, vows no retreat on Iran nukes as Netanyahu of Israel pushes for world support against Iran. Guess which side we're on? I don't know. I won't know. I have no idea, right? Would you have any idea? Well, what else is on michaelsavage.com? Well, let's go and see what else is there. Obama calls off Christmas tree tax. Today there was dead air in America. They tested the a national emergency broadcast system and turned off all TV and radio signals. FEMA's first ever national emergency alert system test. The 30-second test occurred today at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. There were some problems with the audio message, but there won't be any problems when the martial law is declared and Obama goes on to tell us, don't worry, Big Brother. Big Brother is watching over you. I mean, why would they need a national emergency test? Markets plunged on growing concern about Eurozone. Now, before we leave the news, I got to tell you another story. In Los Angeles, the chief of the Los Angeles City's parks is assessing the occupied damages to the parks. Vandalism to irrigation systems, as well as extensive damage to the landscaping. Gee, and I thought they were peace-loving, earth-loving people. Huh, how do you like that? Yeah, I have a solution what they should occupy. They should occupy a jail cell. Park director says Occupy LA campus damaging City Hall grounds. No kidding. What a demonstration. It's illegal, immoral, and fattening. They should leave this hippy-dippy Venice beach drum circle and go find a job. And don't forget this story, which is on my website. The biggest Cain accuser filed a complaint at her next job. She is a serial complainer. Okay, she works for the government. And yet she filed a complaint against the government. In fact, to settle the complaint at the Immigration Service when this Kretsch Kraushair worked there, she initially demanded thousands of dollars in payment, a reinstatement of leave she used after the accident earlier in 02, promotion on the federal pay scale, and a one-year fellowship to Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Can you believe this? And then she sued the government. So that's who's now complaining about Cain. Can you believe this? What a world we live in. All this and more today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Now, a lot of people on the right are trying to put this around the blogosphere that the president doesn't mention God. And clearly they're trying to play now toward this real right-wing religious right kind of thing, which I think is unfortunate. Many Christians have firm belief, but it's based on your work. You can't use God and Christianity and then turn around and vote against trying to feed the hungry, care for the outcast, clothe the naked. Your action, faith without works, is a dead thing. They need to read the Bible that they quote.
Yeah, come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Portland, Oregon, Ann, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I would like some more information on carnitine. I had not heard of it until you mentioned it long ago, and I heard you mention it today.
Carnitine is found only in meat, and that's the problem. People don't understand that we are animals with, just look at our dentures. We have canine teeth. We have teeth that are made for grinding, and we have teeth that are made for cutting and ripping. We are perfect omnivores. It doesn't mean we cannot live on a well-balanced vegetarian diet. We certainly can, but we're not particularly adapted for it. I can show you one ancient ethnic group after another and one modern ethnic group after another that lives almost purely on blubber. Look at the Icelandic Eskimos. The Greenland Eskimos eat the highest fat diet in the world, and they have the lowest rate of coronary heart disease. Are you aware of that?
I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, they eat whale meat, they eat seal blubber, and they have virtually no occlusion of the arteries. And that is because the whale and the seals from those seas ingest foods. The whale ingests plankton, the seals ingest fish that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So the meat in the blubber contains highly beneficial fats rather than fat per se. So we are a fatophobic nation that's obsessed with being skinny, number one, and eliminating fat from our diet, number two. And look at the children. They wind up psychotic on medication because they're on too thin a diet, like their mothers. They may look good, but they're ditzy inside, you understand? But carnitine, to get back to my primary point, carnitine is found only in carne, only in meat. It is an energizer. It's a source of energy for human beings. Let's put it to you that way. Although carnitine is an enzyme, it's an essential enzyme that can be not found anywhere else but in meat. And that is why many vegetarians who are, let us say, highly strung, very nervous, very spacey, they feel out of touch. You give them a good piece of meat, and they always say they feel better. Always. It happens every time. I suggest you go out and have yourself a hamburger tonight, even a McDonald's burger. That's all. See how you feel tomorrow. Get back to me. Let's see. What else do you want to ask? I have, you know, opinions that are based on facts rather than made up out of the thin air. So you say, oh, hogwash. What do you know about
nutrition? I know more about it than you do because I eat yogurt. And if I eat yogurt and I eat tofu, I'm going to be healthier than you. All right. Good luck to you. I hope you live to the age of Moses. You know what I mean?
But I doubt it. The human being is not made for tofu and yogurt. That's all I can tell you. And particularly polyunsaturated fats are very, very deadly for you, incidentally. By the way,
very deadly for you. So there's much more to this picture than taking Lipitor and eating low-fat diets, okay? The fact of the matter is carnitine, in this case, is something you should know about. It's a naturally occurring amino acid derivative. It's produced by the body in the kidneys and the liver, and it's, you know, it's derived from meat. And carnitine deficiency is a situation that will prevent the body from using certain fats for energy, and you wind up feeling completely out of energy, completely blah. And I'm not going to say you're going to have what's known in the medical world as primary carnitine deficiency, but you need it. That's all. You need carnitine to process fats and produce energy. And signs and symptoms of primary carnitine deficiency can appear during infancy or early childhood. And very often, this is a very serious condition. It's very uncommon, by the way. The incidence of primary carnitine deficiency is 1 in 100,000 newborns. In Japan, this disorder is only 1 in every 40,000 newborns. So I don't want to get into the medicine and the genetics of it. You can inherit this, but on the other hand, you could simply eat some meat every once in a while and make sure that you have the carnitine that you need. Montana, Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Lewis and Clark, when they came from 2,000 miles from St. Louis all the way to Oregon, the average man ate 8.5 pounds of red meat a day, and the only person that died was Corporal Pyle, and he died 23 miles outside of St. Louis because of appendicitis, and those men were gone for 3 years, and they were fine and healthy when they got back. They drug their Piorgs, which the weight was about 2,500 pounds apiece. They drug them all the way up.
Right. They were very strong men, and they generally lived longer than people live today. They were very hardy people. I'm definitely, this whole idea of low fat, low cholesterol, take Lipitor is such rubbish. It's beyond belief. It's incomprehensibly backwards. It's one of the greatest medical scandals in history. It's like the colostomy bag. I don't know if people don't know this, but around the, I think it was in the period of about 1890 in the upper classes of England, if there is such a thing. I doubt very much that there ever was a thing called upper classes in England, but there was a group of people who considered themselves members of the upper class. Generally, they were people who inherited money that was stolen from the colonies. Anyway, these people, who have caused so much havoc around the earth, had nothing to do with themselves except get drunk and eat daintily. And then they had this idea that the fecal matter that every human being produces was somehow low class and disgusting. And they just could not live with the idea that they had to sit down and go to the toilet. So they came up with a novel idea. They put colostomy bags on their bodies so they would never have to again sit in what is affectionately known as the crapper.
Savage.
You know, the sexual assault allegations against the only real conservative presidential candidate, or shall I say, I think the best one, Herman Cain, you know, has been obsessing us. But we can't let ourselves forget about all the other problems, including the radical communist Occupy protesters around the nation. Joining us here on the Savage Nation to talk about this threat to our civil order is John Payne, a writer for the American Conservative. John Payne, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to be here.
So you've been to these protests, and what did you see there? Tell me what you think about the street communists. These are not peace-loving people.
Well, when I first went, I haven't been to a lot of the protests, but I just happened to be in Manhattan at the time that, sort of around the time that it kicked off. And so I decided to go down there. And I made two separate trips, and, you know, the first time I went down there, I was sort of already convinced that it was going to be, as I call it, just the latest banshee cry of the radical left, and there's certainly a lot of truth to that. I remember when I was leaving the protest for the first night, I walked up Broadway and encountered a huge throng of protesters walking down to join the demonstration, and there was a guy carrying a sign that says, "Occupy everything, because you already know that you own everything." And that struck me as incredibly crazy. And, you know, even, I didn't write about this guy, but there was another guy behind him who was just screaming, "You are the 99% at you know, me and all my friends, and that wasn't exactly something that was convincing us that we should go out and join them when he was screaming it in my face. But, you know, there are other people who are a bit more reasonable. I went back a second time, and, you know, there's certainly all the drum circles and one of my friends described as all the worst aspects of a hippie festival without the drugs. But, you know, I talked to some other people, and they were – I disagreed with a lot of their political solutions. You know, they want more regulation, want higher taxes, and I oppose those sorts of things. But – they weren't just crazy radicals that want to, you know, completely socialize the country. So some of these people are just trying to assert a modicum of control over institutions that are they think are running roughshod over their lives. And I can sympathize with that those goals, but I think they're going about it the wrong way in their policy solutions.
Compare and contrast the Occupy Street rabble with the Tea Party.
Well, I think there's more similarity there than a lot of people recognize. Certainly, the Occupy Wall Street protesters are younger, more left-wing. The Tea Party protesters are older, more right-wing. But I do think there is some overlap there. I've seen a Venn diagram floating around Facebook that shows, you know, the Tea Party protesters wanting lower spending and lower taxes, and the Occupy Wall Street protesters wanting more spending and higher taxes. But the one thing that they do seem to agree upon is that the government shouldn't be giving billions upon billions of dollars to the wealthiest corporations. So, you know, I think there's some common ground there, and maybe we can get back to a more, if we can harness that, maybe we can get back to a more truly free market system where, you know, we have privatized risks and privatized losses and privatized success as opposed to privatized profits and socialized losses. But that said, I think that, you know, there's certainly a bit more of a do-it-yourself attitude among the Occupy Wall Street protesters. I mean, they don't tend to go out and get permits. The Tea Party protesters have usually been very scrupulous about that. And I think that's maybe led to more clashes with the police. That said, though, you know, this country was founded on groups of people that certainly did not wait for permits to go out and assert their right to protest. So, you know, I'm still somewhat sympathetic to both sides in this. I think this country has gone so far off the tracks that anyone who's willing to challenge the status quo deserves to be heard.
What do you mean when you say that the Wall Street protesters share the Tea Party's illusions? What do you mean illusions?
Well, I think part of the problem with both these protests is that neither one recognizes how bad a situation we're really in. So, you know, if you look at polls of the Tea Party protesters, even they oppose substantial cuts to the big entitlements like Medicare and Social Security. And, you know, the Occupy Wall Street protesters think that we can solve all our problems just by taxing the richest 1% a little bit more. Well, I think we're in for a lot rougher times than that. You know, if you look at the explosion in entitlement spending that's about to come down the line, and you know the economy is continuing to struggle, something has got to give in this country in our political system. And you know, this is just basic facts. We're either going to have to raise taxes a great deal to such an extent that it would cripple the economy, or we're going to have to cut government spending in massive proportions on both entitlements, you know, basically across the board. And so I don't think either of these groups have really dealt with that. I think they're kind of both engaging in convenient scapegoating. So, you know, the Tea Party protesters are often just saying, oh, we can cut out earmark spending. Well, that's a very small percentage of spending. And the Occupy Wall Street protesters are saying, oh, we can just tax the 1% more. Well, rich as they may be, that's not going to account for a whole lot of money in the long run. Certainly not enough to finance all the entitlement spending that we're on the hook for. So that's the basic idea.
So I guess you and I both think the goal of these protesters is not what they say it is. What do you think it is?
I think it varies. I think this is the Occupy Wall Street movement is certainly not, you know, there's no main organization that I saw, and so I think there's a lot of different goals. Certainly there are your outright communists out there. I've seen them. I saw a video on YouTube the other day of a guy who was a former Soviet citizen arguing with some of these Workers' World Party people. That they're just saying that, oh, North Korea is great and all this, and that's crazy. And they're certainly out there. I encountered several of them when I was at Wall Street myself. And so they're out there, but there's also people that are quite a bit more sensible than that. People that, you know, they're certainly, for the most part, on the left. They're liberals. They want more regulation of Wall Street banks. I don't think most of them are terribly well-versed in economics, but they have a sense that the financial institutions have sort of run amok, and there's some truth to that, but I disagree with what their end goals, which are mostly, most of the stuff I heard was ending corporate personhood, raising corporate taxes. Now, they don't realize that if you end corporate personhood, there's not going to be a corporation that you can tax, but nonetheless, they say both those things at the same time. And the re-implementation of Glass-Steagall, which is a regulation that would separate investment and commercial banking. And so those are the things that I heard most commonly when I asked for specific policy proposals. And increased taxes on the wealthy as well. Another big popular one is getting rid of student loan debt, which is is not exactly something that is going to benefit the poorest Americans. That's certainly another middle class sop to the middle class and upper classes. So it's sort of funny to see people out there identifying with the downtrodden when they have a college education. You're not exactly some of the worst off in the world when you're college educated in the United States. But so those are, I think, are the biggest goals. And again, I think I understand where some of these people are coming from, but I don't think that most of those are good policy ideas.
At the end of the day, do you believe, as I will, that nothing will come from these protests?
That's a good question, and I think it's often very difficult to play prognosticator, and it almost always makes you look like a fool. But at the peril of that, I'll go ahead and say that I think that they will probably energize the Democratic base for the 2012 elections, but maybe not in ways that people expect. I think that a lot of these people are going to be very politically active, but I think that actually the Democratic Party and Obama may suffer because of this, because there's not a whole lot of sympathy for a lot of Democrats or Obama at these rallies. People are very mad, and they don't think that they're being represented by the people that they even voted for. And so in many ways, I think this is actually sort of similar to the Tea Party, except a left-wing version of it. So you might see more people more Democrats going rogue on their party. And so I think what you might see is a more liberal Democratic Party because of this, just as I think the Tea Party has moved the Republican Party to a more conservative stance. That could make things more interesting politically down the road, but we'll have to see.
John Payne, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Hey, it was great talking to you, Michael. Thank you a lot for having me.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
President and working with us deliberately put pieces in the jobs bill that they had always supported. Maybe they want the economy to be as bad as possible because they think that's their best road to electoral victory. You don't want to come to that conclusion, but their actions sort of draw you in that direction. If they would come to us and say, here's how we can vote for it, we'd work with them. 59% of Republicans agree that those folks should pay an increase in taxes. 80% of Democrats, 70% of independents. So they say, well, that's their objection.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. Here I am, a guy who wrote a book called Trickle Up Poverty, where I attacked Obama's policies, wrote a book that was a bestseller,
It's just out in paperback, by the way. I'm not here to sell you a book. It's just brilliant. And I spent a lot of time on one particular chapter, on many chapters, but one was Nightmare on Wall Street, chapter 4, page 79, where I spell out for you the evidence that Obama was put in power by those who caused the crash of the banks in the year just before Obama was elected. And you say, well, wait a minute, don't you then agree with those who were saying that the banks are the problem? The answer is no, because you say banks. What do you mean banks? Not all banks are bad. Not all people on Wall Street are crooks. As I said to you, there's a good Wall Street, and then there's a criminal Wall Street. The Managed Funds Association, a group of hedge fund investors with whom Soros was affiliated, lobbied SEC Chairman Christopher Cox to have the rules changed. In my opinion, they did so for the sake of they engineer a raid on U.S. markets to trigger a financial crisis that they foresaw could turn the election in favor of their 08 candidate, Barack Obama. And the strategy worked. In the end, some believe that George Soros and similarly mined fanatics and financiers benefited in an extraordinary way while moving the country dangerously toward control by leftists. And despite this alleged manipulation of Wall Street and of the marketplace, Soros is free and active today. And while he's still denying his involvement in one of the greatest scandals in American history, that is, while he's not crowing that he had a very good crisis, I'm wondering why there isn't an investigation into this matter. Hundreds upon hundreds of minor players were also involved in this fraud as well. Another member of the MFA at the time was John Paulson, no relation to former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, one of the architects of the TARP bailout. Remember Hank Paulson? Paulson saw the value of his hedge fund firm rise exponentially in 07, thanks to the rule changes that the Managed Funds Association lobbied for. And while he predicted the crash and the demise of Lehman Brothers and Wachovia, the real reason he was able to realize huge profits from the financial meltdown were the rule changes that he took advantage of to line his pockets. Paulson, like Cox and Soros, is still playing his trade, in my opinion. And in his case, a hedge fund trader. And so the fact of the matter is, there was a run on Wall Street. But not all Wall Street is the problem. Not all banks are the problems. All you've got to do is try to fix what Bill Clinton broke and what George Bush broke. And that is, you've got to override the gangsters in the hedge funds who bet against stocks. What hedge funds do is they buy stocks that they think will go up, and they hedge their bet by buying against certain stocks that they hope will go down. Now think about this. How can they make sure that the stocks that they thought will go down do go down? By manipulating the market. And that's why you've had such wild swings on Wall Street since the uptick rule was eliminated. And so therefore, you are seeing gangsters in pinstripe suits who are busting out stocks in order to make certain that their bets are hedged. This is criminal behavior in the estimation of those who really know. This is allowed because old George Bush, permitted the uptick rule to be eliminated, which needs to be restored, in my estimation. I also point out what Bill Clinton did to favor some of the more daring members of the Wall Street traders, and that is eliminate Glass-Steagall. After the Great Depression of the 1920s, even the most uneducated in America still know about the Great Depression, changes were made on Wall Street to prevent wild speculation. I learned this in high school. Do you know that people were allowed to buy without putting anything down just before the crash of the 1928, I believe? People were buying stocks without putting anything down. So they were able to buy things they couldn't afford, and it crashed. They were speculating wildly. So the wise men after that period came along and they said, well, we're not going to let wild speculation on Wall Street to occur anymore. We're going to make certain that people, you know, buy the amount of stock that they can actually afford. And one of the ways they did this was put in a Glass-Steagall Act, which I spell out in much more detail in Trickle-Up Poverty. And it was in place for all of these decades, the Glass-Steagall Act, until big old Bill Clinton, working to protect his friends on Wall Street, eliminated the Glass-Steagall Act. And by eliminating it, wild speculation occurred. And so as I say to you, in my estimation, as one educated American who has studied this in great detail and wrote a best-selling book on it, you need to take the Glass-Steagall Act and immediately reenact it, and then you've got to put in
you got to reenact the uptick rule. Those two things alone would straighten out the wild speculation on Wall Street and start to bring things into balance. I don't think this will happen because the lobbyists are too powerful. So in Trickle-Up Poverty, I ended with the Savage Manifesto, Borders, Language, Culture, and Economics. And it's a 38-point plan. English only, close the borders, defend the borders, defund and repeal Obamacare, reduce the size of government, liquidate TARP, oil for illegals, strike down anchor baby law, export jailed illegal aliens, fire Janet Napolitano, use profiling to prevent terror attacks, rewrite the rules of engagement, save the SEALs, reinforce the military infrastructure, give a pay raise to military personnel for active duty combat troops, impose tariffs on China, offer health savings plans. I go down the list. I'm not going to read all of them. But right near the end, point 32 in Trickle-Up Poverty, your favorite talk show host, Michael Savage, said reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. It's one paragraph. May I read it to you? This act, instituted in 1933, required the separation of commercial and investment banks. Its repeal in 1999 was one of the key factors leading to the breakdown of the residential mortgage investment sector. Senators John McCain and Maria Cantwell were proposing to reinstate it. This needs to be done while also eliminating Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Then point 33 is reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. Here's what I wrote. We saw what happened when hedge fund raiders, according to one report, manipulated and rocked the stock market on May 6, 2010, causing a 1,000-point drop before recovering. This is why we must end the practice of short selling. The uptick rule must be reinstated while putting into place trading curbs. Congress and the SEC should conduct hearings and pass new safeguards to prevent the future meltdown, although this may be just a Band-Aid that masks the crisis du jour. Wall Street firms hire some of the brightest young minds, hand them supercomputers, then cut them loose on the exchanges. However, while they produce billions in revenue through their trading, they contribute nothing of material substance to our society. This pursuit of quick financial gain leads to artificial bubbles, inflated valuation of stocks, more crises, and in the end, the potential for widespread abuse, if not the end of the capitalist system, which enabled this country to become so great. Well, there it is. You've got institutions that can be controlled, and I say institute tort reform. Run the country like a business, not an empire. Get back to basics. It's all in Trickle-Up Poverty. But you didn't want to buy it. You thought that I was just making it up as I went along. I have a real doctorate from a great American university in hard sciences, and I study the things I write about.
Savage.